الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt, dimension, and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his companions, his wives, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of recompense. As to what follows, ayah number 16 of Surah An-Nisa. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذان يأتيانها منكم فآذوهما فإن تابا وأصلحا فأعرضوا عنهما إن الله كان توابا رحيما. Before we say the commentary of the Shaykh, let's see what the ayah, the equivalence in English. And the two persons, man and woman, among you who commit illegal sexual intercourse, hurt them both. And if they repent, meaning they promise Allah that they will never repeat the illegal sexual intercourse and other similar sins, and do righteous good deeds, leave them alone. Surely Allah is ever all forgiving, the one who accepts repentance, and is the most merciful. The Shaykh said, وَكَذَلِكَ الَّذَانِ يَأْتِيَانِهَا أَيْ الْفَاحِشَ مِنْكُمْ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ. So whoever then commits illegal sexual intercourse, whether or be it male or female, and we just briefly to explain why was it called fahisha. Fahisha لأنها يعني عظيمة. It's called fahisha, abhorrent sin. Not an average sin, it's repulsive. It makes the person reach a level of disgust. Reason being is a man and a woman coming together in such an intimate form is the epitome of a sound relationship. And that sound relationship only exists within wedlock, within marriage. So once a man and a woman reach a point where they can both become naked and do something which only married people do, it becomes such a sin that Allah Azza wa Jalla has prepared the many punishments which we mentioned and the others which you will come across in other ayat in the book of Allah. Now we don't deny the natural inclination in men for women and in women for men. Allah made them feel attracted to one another. There's this mutual attraction, no doubt, except those who are, you know, abnormal, like the homosexuals. It's an abnormality, it's nothing normal. They claim that, you know, they were born that way. No, you accepted it. You accepted it. No one is born gay. Someone may be born with particular feminine tendencies, then we say consider it like any other disease. You don't live, you know, in accordance with it. You try to treat it like any other problem. Like any other problem. Consider it a disease and fight against it. Like some men are more sexually, you know, have a stronger sexual desire than others. If someone has, he cannot go commit zina and say, wallah, it's not my fault. No, then you have to have more control than someone who's not as sexually, doesn't have such a strong sexual desire as yourself. So, Allah created the people with the ability to contain themselves and withhold from these violations. So then, this idea of a man and a woman sleeping together is something which Islam does not entertain. Why? Well, we can give 1,000 reasons why it only makes sense that a man and a woman should not sleep with each other until they are married. Because you may have a child born without a marriage contract, which creates problems for the child, sexually transmitted diseases, the honor of the woman is taken away. Now surely no one will accept this for a sister. We don't know of a man, unless he's retarded, whom someone can come and say, do you mind if I, you know, sleep with your sister? He says, go ahead. He will say, no, But he will go do it to someone else's sister, maybe mushkila. Against his sister, he will never accept it. I mean, if it happens behind his back, big deal. Unless people reach a level of the level of their natural disposition being so corrupted, like in some of the Western societies, that this is even normal to them. So yeah, let her do whatever she wants. That's how bad a man can get, and how the level of lacking of jealousy, the lack of jealousy for his woman folks becomes non-existent. So it doesn't matter. I'll let them do whatever they want. But that's not how Allah created us. Even animals have a sense of jealousy. Some animals, a female may go out with a few men, or a few males, excuse me, and it wouldn't make a big deal for them because they're animals. But even amongst animals, some of the male will not allow it. And they may attack the other male who tries to approach their female. Even an animal has a sense of jealousy. So when we lose it, no good. فآذوهما بالقول والتوبيخ والتعيير والضرب الرادي عن هذه الفاحشة. So how do you harm them because of that evil sin they've committed? You do so, you harm them verbally, you harm them by reproaching them, reprimanding them, and beating them as well. فعلى هذا يكون الرجال إذا فعلوا الفاحشة يؤذون والنساء يحبسن ويؤذين. If the men then commit the sin, they are to be harmed. And if women commit it, they are to be harmed and they are kept at home. So they will not fall into that act again. فَالْحَبْسُ غَيَتُهُ لِلْمَوْتِ. The end of the duration of that imprisonment is death. وَالْأَذِيَّةُ نِهَايَتُهَا إِلَى التَّوْبَةِ وَالْإِصْلَاحِ. As for the verbal or the harming them, then this ends once they repent to Allah and they rectify their condition. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ. This is why Allah said, فَإِن تَابَا. But if they do repent, أي رَجِعَا عَنِ الذَّنْبِ الَّذِي فَعَلَا وَنَدِمَا عَلَيْهِ وَعَزَمَا أَلَّا يَعُدَا. If they leave alone, they turn away from that sin, and they feel guilty, they feel remorseful over that sin, and they have the determination never to return to it. وَأَصْلَحَا الْعَمَلِ الدَّالَ عَلَى صِدْقِ التَّوْبَةِ. Then they perform good deeds which indicate and reinforce their tawbah. فَأَعْرِضُ عَنْهُمَا. Then leave them alone. Turn away from them. أي عن أذاهما. Don't harm them anymore. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Verily Allah is the one who accepts repentance the most merciful. أي كثير التوبة على المذنبين الخطائين. Allah often accepts the repentance of the sinful, the wrongdoers. عظيم الرحمة والإحسان. Vast in His rahmah and His kindness and goodness. الذي من إحسانه وفقهم للتوبة. First part of His goodness سبحانه وتعالى is that He facilitated for them to repent to Him. وقبلها منهم. Then He accepted that from them. وسامحهم عما صدر منهم. And he forgave and pardoned what had come and what had, what they had done. So now, we need to understand. These rulings are made, as the scholars say, as deterrents. The main objective of the penal code laws in Islam, the executions and the stoning and the cutting of the hand, all of these are meant to be deterring factors in the society. Meaning, when the people know that the consequence of that crime is that penalty, that punishment, then people will leave it alone. This is why you compare Saudi Arabia any day to any country in the world where they do not apply the Islamic Sharia, you will find that the crime rate on all fronts, there's a huge difference which we cannot even begin to understand. We cannot even begin to understand. And in the States, for example, a thief may be given 10 years in prison, and he goes through rehabilitation, and of course in prison he's eating, drinking, and sleeping on the expense of the taxes of the people. So he's living on the expenses of the regular citizens who are working, 24 hours a day. He has, usually they have a gym, swimming pool, you know, he's living a lavish life, and then finally when he's out, and you read this all the time in the news, the same day he goes out, he goes and he robs a bank. And you say, I'm the Ajib. You've been in prison for 10 years. The day they release you, he goes and he commits the same crime. And if I haven't read this at least 200 times in my life, it's probably more. Where a rapist, the day he was released, he raped a woman. A murderer, the day he was released, he murdered someone. Why? Because they're not applying the law of Allah. That's not how the law of Allah works. And anytime the human beings turn away from the law of Allah, say, God doesn't know what's good for the people. Now we will come up with our own laws. And they come up with their own laws, it's nothing but a loss. He cost the state, you know, maybe 30,000 riyals worth of food and drink and what have you, and you know, accommodation, just so he can go out and commit another crime. This is besides the cost for the court and the lawyers and the judges and all this nonsense. In Islam, listen man, you rob something, you can kiss your hand goodbye. And next time he's about to rob something, he will think 500 times before he gets into such an act. Because you don't want to lose your hand. Khalas. And if someone doesn't care, he does it anyway. And he does it. What's the good news? We say, Alhamdulillah. By the Muslims and the ruler carrying out the punishment against you, you have already paid for your sin in the dunya. You're no longer responsible for it on the day of recompense. Which is excellent news for the criminal. You understand? If it's not done, and he doesn't do tawbah, on the day of recompense, he will have to pay for that sin in the dunya. However, if the punishment is carried out, then that sin is gone with that punishment. That's mercy from Allah. Even for the criminal, that's mercy from Allah. Because if he were to be responsible for it on the day of recompense, he may not be able to handle it. But now, life goes on. People, you know, lose their arms and legs in accidents all the time. At least you're no longer responsible for that crime between the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla on the day of recompense, on the day of Qiyamah. So that, yani, there's wisdom, there's mercy in them for the well-being of the creation. But most people do not understand. Why? Brainwashed. Human beings, people today are predominantly brainwashed. Illa man rahim Allah. They've absorbed all of this nonsense that the media is dishing out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they started to believe these people. The same criminals, the same, you know, the same people that are destroying this earth on which we are living, they are the same people who come up with these laws, and people have been brainwashed and believed them. So they think that this is the best solution, that is the best solution. I say to you, the best solution is the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When people apply them, then they will be hayat for us in this life and in the life to come. على كل حال. ويؤخذ من هاتين الآيتين أن بينة الزنا لا بد أن تكون أربعة رجال مؤمنين. Very important. We learn from this ayah that for for someone to say that a couple have fornicated or committed adultery, it is necessary that there are four male witnesses. وَمِنْ بَابِ أَوْلَى وَأَحْرَى اشْتِرَاطُ عَدَالَتِهِمْ. And inevitably and more expected is the fact that they should be sound people of sound intellect. Yani these four men are not a bunch of wicked people. And this is from the mercy of Allah. Yani for actually, what are the chances, Ma'lish, let's be honest. What are the chances that someone who's sleeping with a woman, let's say someone is committing fornication, wal-iyadu billah, what are the chances of them being busted by four men? Alaykum salam. What are the chances? Very slim. Because people usually, where do they do this? In a house. Behind closed doors. That doesn't, now no one can say, no, here's, see look at Islam now, look at the justice of Allah. No one can say, well I saw fulan go into the house of my neighbor and the man is outside, only the wife is in the house. He cannot say in Islam, He cannot say in Islam that they are committing zina or they committed zina. And if he did, then the Muslim ruler will lash him. He will be lashed for qadh, for slander. You understand? We say something is wrong, something is suspicious. You don't know. Maybe he's a boxer. And they go in there and box. You never know. They may be doing it, they may be not. Maybe they haven't reached a level of intercourse. They may be doing other things. So Islam closed the door. Either four male witnesses observe it with their eyes, and they don't see a man on top of a woman. No. They must see the thing. You understand what I'm saying? They must see the actual act taking place. Then and only then they can say, then these two committed zina, then their shahada is accepted, and then their hajj of zina is carried out. Speculation, I think, I feel, maybe three, not four, Allah will not accept it. Why? Because Allah is closing the door for people to, you know, transgress against others' rights and falsely accuse them. Furthermore, it opens the door for tawbah. Yani if someone did this sin, wal-iyadu billah, and no one saw him, he just repents to Allah, no one has to know about it. You understand? He's not obliged to go and tell the people, I committed zina, carry out the hajj against me. He's not. What is expected of him is to keep his mouth shut, don't expose yourself, and repent to Allah. This is from the mercy of Allah, you know, upon his slaves. Idan, لأن الله تعالى شدد في أمر هذه الفاحشة سترا لعباده. Allah made it that restricted as means of concealment of his slaves. حتى إنه لا يقبل فيها النساء منفردات ولا مع الرجل ولا مع دون أربعة. So much so that Allah does not accept if four various, you know, female witnesses came and made the testimony or anything lesser than men. ولا بد من التصريح بالشهادة. And they can't, you know, gesture or allude to the act. They must express it that this happened. كما دلت على ذلك الأحاديث الصحيحة وتوم إليه هذه الآية. As the textual evidences from the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم indicate, and this ayah. لما قال فاستشهدوا عليهن أربعة منكم. So bring four from amongst you as witnesses against them. لم يكتفي بذلك حتى قال فإن شهدوا. Then Allah did not stop. Rather he said, so if they bear witness, أي لا بد من شهادة صريحة عن أمر يشاهد عليانا من غير تعريض ولا كناية. So it must be something which they observe with their eyes, and they must explicitly say that they saw zina. It is not something that they will use metaphorical speech or figurative speech or symbols, symbolic language. No, it must be straight to the point. You understand what I'm saying? طيب. ويؤخذ منهما أن الأذية بالقول والفعل والحبس قد شرعه الله تعزيرا لجنس المعصية التي يحصل به الزجر. And we learn from this ayah that the harming verbally or with actions or with imprisonment, Allah has made it as means of deterring in order for this kind of sin, so that the people will avoid it and stay away from it. Now the next ayah, ayah 17. إنما التوبة على الله للذين يعملون السوء بجهالة ثم يتوبون من قريب فأولئك يتوب الله عليهم وكان الله عليما حكيما وليست التوبة للذين يعملون السيئات حتى إذا حضر أحدهم الموت قال إني تبت الآن ولا الذين يموتون وهم كفار أولئك أعتدنا لهم عذابا أليما. آيات 17 and 18. Allah accepts only the repentance of those who do evil in ignorance and foolishness and repent soon afterwards. It is they whom Allah will
all wise, and of no effect, of no value, is the repentance of those who continue to do evil deeds until death faces one of them. And he says, at the time of death, now I repent. Huh? Who did that? Fir'aun. Fir'aun did that. And what did Allah say? What was the response in the Quran? Al-an. Now, after all the crimes you've committed, وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. يعني Fir'aun was a wicked guy. Wicked. He told the people, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your Lord, the Most High. مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرِي. He said to the people, his people, I don't know of any other God for you except myself. You know, wild creature, Fir'aun. And still, when he was drowning, he said, I believe. آمَنْتُ بِالَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلِ. He couldn't even say, I believe in Allah. He said, I believe in the God which the children of Israel have believed in. He was too ashamed to mention Allah's name. Anyways, Allah did not accept that, because that was what? That is after you saw your demise, your end, and there's absolutely no benefit in this tawbah. So he says, I repent now. Nor of those who die while they are disbelievers. For them we have prepared a painful punishment. The Shaykh says, rahimahullah, tawbatullahi ala ibadihi naw'an. The repentance which Allah accepts, or the repentance which Allah grants His slaves, is of two kinds. Tawfiqun minhu lit-tawbah. First, Allah gives them success in doing tawbah. Yani, if Allah will, a person will never develop the intent or the will to even repent. So the first aspect of tawbah is that Allah gives you that guilty feeling which invites you to return to Allah in repentance. You understand? Creating in you that guilt so you may do something about it. Then the second aspect of the tawbah is that Allah accepts it after it exists. Allah first gives you the success to want to repent, and then after you establish that repentance, Allah actually accepts it of you. فأخبر هنا أن التوبة المستحقة على الله حقا أحقه على نفسه كرما منه وجودا لمن عمل السوء أي المعاصي بجهل. Beautiful. So then Allah informs us here that the repentance which Allah Azza wa Jalla has made it a right and due upon Himself out of generosity from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and out of kindness for the one who does su, meaning sins, bi jahala. Ay, jahalatan minhu li'aqibatiha wa ijabiha li sakhatillahi wa iqabih. Bi jahala, very important technical understanding, pay attention with me. Ignorance, the one who does sins out of ignorance, it does not mean the ignorant as in the one who does not know that this is a sin. Because if you committed something while not knowing it is a sin, you're not sinful. You understand? A condition for you to be sinful is that you know that this is haram and you do it. If you didn't know it was haram, it's something, some aspect of the deen which you didn't know, will Allah hold you accountable for something which you did without knowledge? Never. Never. Let's say someone recently embraces Islam. Tayyib, he recently embraces Islam. And then he has not yet come across a ruling, for example, that pig is haram. He has not, for whatever reason. So he goes and he gets, you know, pepperoni pizza, or some, you know, bacon and sausages and whatever, and he eats it. Then afterwards he's sitting with his friend, he says, what do you have for breakfast? He said, well, I had some nice sausages. Not sausages. He says, haram. He said, oh, I didn't know.
Never. Never. Because Allah Azza wa Jal has lifted the bed from these, from a particular individuals who are not knowing of a ruling. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We were never to punish people until a messenger is sent, meaning until they know the message. So here, jahala doesn't mean they're ignorant of the ruling. It means that they're ignorant of the consequences of the sin, and that it brings about Allah's punishment. Otherwise, if they did the sin out of ignorance, then they're not sinful. So jahala means, and really, every time we commit sin, we are being ignorant. Every time we commit sin, we are being ignorant. Not as in we didn't know it was a sin, as in we're ignorant by not knowing that this sin will destroy us. This sin will distance us from Allah. This sin will be no good for us, not in this life, not in the world to come. And only an ignorant person, alaykum salam, knows something is harmful and he does it. Only an ignorant person knows something is harmful and he still does it. Right or wrong? If someone, you know, if you tell a child, or not a child, if you tell a grown man, look, this, you know, this stove is hot. And if you put your finger on it, you burn it. And then he puts his finger. What do we say? He's an ignorant person. He may be a doctor, but he's ignorant because he knows that this is going to burn him, and he still does it. You understand? So this is the ignorance intended here. Otherwise, that will make a huge misconception amongst them. So every time we disobey Allah, we're committing an act of jahil. وَجَهْلٌ مِنْهُ لِنَظَرِ اللَّهِ وَمِرَقَبَتِهِ لَهِ. And we're being ignorant of the fact that Allah is watchful. Allah is observing us and is watchful over us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَهْلٌ مِنْهَا بِمَا تَعُولُ لَيْهِ مِنْ نَقْصِ الْإِيمَانِ أَوْ إِعْدَامِهِ. And ignorance on his end concerning what the sin will do of decreasing his faith, if not eliminating it altogether. فَكُلُّ عَاصٍ لِلَّهِ فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ بِهَذَا الْإِعْتِبَارِ وَإِنْ كَانَ عَالِمًا بِالتَّحْرِيمِ. So everyone who disobeys Allah is ignorant in the sense, even if he knew that what he's committing is a sin. نعم. بَلْ بِالْعِلْمُ بِالتَّحْرِيمِ شَرْطٌ لِكَوْنِهَا مَعْصِيَةً مُعَاقَبْ عَلَيْهِ. Rather, knowing that this is a sin, haram, is a condition for him to be sinful. Otherwise, as I said earlier, if he did it without knowing that this was haram, he's not even held accountable for that. ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ يُحْتَمَلْ. Then they repent soon afterwards. يُحْتَمَلْ أَنْ يَكُونَ الْمَعْنَى ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ قَبْلَ مُعَيَنَةِ الْمَوْتِ. The one possible interpretation is that they repent before they see death. Before they see death. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبَلَ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ إِذَا تَابَ قَبْلَ مُعَيَنَةِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْعَذَابِ قَطْعًا. Allah will accept the tawbah of a slave without a doubt. Before he sees death or before he sees his punishment. No doubt. Yani even if someone continued to disobey Allah for 50 years, and then he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 2 months before he died, and he hasn't reached, yani he's not on his deathbed, Allah will accept his tawbah. Allah will accept his tawbah. But once the soul is at the collarbone, إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُرْقُومِ. Once the soul has reached the collarbone and he's at the last, the agonies of death, and he wants to do tawbah then? No. No. Because they've reached their, you know, expiration date. There was an expiration date on this tawbah. وَأَمَّا مَا بَعْضَ حُضُورِ الْمَوْتِ فَلَا يُقْبَلْ مِنَ الْعَاصِينِ تَوْبَةٌ وَلَا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ رُجُوعًا. As for after seeing that, then no tawbah will be accepted of a sinner, nor of a disbeliever who wants to return to the deen. كما قال تعالى عن فرعون, as Allah said about فرعون, فلما أدركه الغرق قال آمنت أنه لا إله إلا الذي آمنت به بنو إسرائيل وأنا من المسلمين. Just like فرعون did when Allah said, and when drowning overcame him, he said, I believe that there is no God except the one whom Bani Israel have believed in, and I am among the Muslims. الآية, the ayah. وقال تعالى another ayah Allah says فلما رأوا بأسنا قالوا آمنا بالله وحده وكفرنا بما كنا به مشركين فلم يكن ينفعهم إيمانهم لما رأوا بأسنا سنة الله التي قد خلت في عباده. Another ayah Allah says, so when they saw our punishment, they say we believe in Allah alone, and we disbelieve in all those whom we used to associate as partners with him. Allah says it was never to benefit them, that faith of theirs. After they had seen our punishment, this is the way of Allah which has always been with the slaves. This is the way of Allah with His creation. وَلَا تَجِدُ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. And you will not find in the way of Allah any change. Can't change it. That's the way Allah Azza wa Jalla deals with this creation subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ هُنَا وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَيِ الْمَعَاصِي فِي مَدُونِ الْكُفُرِ. Here he said, and the tawbah then is not effective for those who do sins, meaning all kinds of sins which is below kufr. حتى إذا حضر أحده الموت قال إني تبت الآن. Until when death comes to one of them, he says, I repent now. ولا الذين يموتون وهم كفار. Nor is it for those who die while they are disbelievers. أولئك أعتدنا لهم عذابا أليما. For those who have prepared a severe punishment. وذلك أن التوبة في هذه الحال توبة اضطرار لا تنفع صاحبها إنما تنفع توبة الاختيار. Why? What is the summary and the conclusion? That tawbah is a tawbah of necessity, not a tawbah of choice. يعني they are obliged to repent because they know that they've reached the end. They know that what's next is meeting Allah Azza wa Jal and the grave and everything. So they only repented out of necessity. But what was expected of them was what? The repentance of choice. While they had a life to live and they had the ability to disobey Allah, but they turned away from this disobedience and returned to Allah in repentance, this is when it will benefit them. ويحتمل أن يكون معنى قوله من قريب أي قريب من فعلهم للذنب الموجب للتوبة. Another interpretation concerning they repent soon. One interpretation then is that they do it before they die. The other interpretation is that they do it right after they sin. Right after they commit a sin, they repent. فيكون المعنى أن من بادر إلى الإقلاع من حين صدور الدم وناب إلى الله وندم عليه فإن الله يتوب عليه. So this in indicates or implies that if one of us commits a sin, then he immediately feels guilty and he immediately turns in repentance to Allah, that Allah will accept his tawbah. That Allah will accept his tawbah. يعني don't, there's no procrastination. There's no delaying. Oh, tomorrow I will repent. Next week I will repent. No. As soon as they commit a sin, they feel guilty, they immediately turn in repentance to Allah. It is those whom Allah will accept their repentance. بخلاف من استمر على ذنبه وأصر على عيوبه حتى صارت فيه صفات راسخة. This is unlike the one who continues in his sins and he insists on his shortcomings until they become qualities in him, permanent qualities. يعني if someone continues to commit a sin, it becomes something which he eventually cannot leave alone. It becomes part of his character. You know, like lying. Someone may lie a little bit here and there, but they continue to lie until they become a kaddab. They lie and lie and lie, and even if they try to say the truth, it becomes such a permanent character in them or quality to lie that they have a hard time saying the truth. Subhanallah al-Azim. فإنه يعسر على إيجاد التوبة التامة. It is difficult then to acquire a perfect or a complete repentance. والغالب أنه لا يوفق للتوبة ولا ييسر لأسبابها. And very often, this person is not, the tawbah is not facilitated for him, nor are the reasons made easy. كالذي يعمل السوء على علم قائم ويقين متهاون بنظر الليل. Like the one who commits the sins while having certain knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal, and being very negligent that Allah is observing him. And he continues to do this sin while knowing that Allah sees him, while knowing it's haram. He has certainty it's haram and he still does it. وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةَ. فَإِنَّهُ يَسُدُّ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَابَ الرَّحْمَةِ. This person is blocking against him the door of mercy of Allah with this negligence against Allah عز وجل. نعم قد يوفق العبد قد يوفق الله عبده المصر على الذنوب من عن عمد ويقين للتوبة النافعة التي يمحو بها ما سلف من سيئاته وما تقدم من جناياته. But however we say, Allah may grant success to a slave of His who insisted on sins while knowing it's wrong, and Allah will bless him with a sound repentance in which his previous sins are forgiven and his violations are overlooked. There you go. His violations are overlooked. ولكن الرحمة والتوفيق للأول أقرب. However, the one who is more likely to receive the mercy and the success from Allah is the first one. The one who repents immediately, not the one who waits. يعني the one who waits, he may. Allah may still accept his repentance and make him return to him, but he may not. So there's a risk. Whereas the first one, then it is a promise from Allah that he will accept his tawbah and his repentance. ولهذا ختم الآية الأولى بقوله وكان الله عليما حكيما. That's why Allah concluded the first ayah by saying, and Allah is ever all-knowing, all-wise. فمن علمه أنه يعلم صادق التوبة وكاذبها. Part of the knowledge of Allah is that He knows who is truthful in his tawbah and who is lying. فيجازي كل منهما بحسب ما استحق بحكمته. And Allah عز وجل will recompense each one of them according to what he deserves, based on Allah's wisdom. ومن حكمته أن يوفق من اقتضت حكمته ورحمته توفيقه للتوبة. And from the mercy of Allah is that He gives success to the one whom the mercy of Allah and His wisdom entail that he should be given tawfiq, success. ويخذل من اقتضت حكمته وعدله وعدم توفيقه. And Allah will disgrace and disappoint the one whom Allah's wisdom and mercy entail that he should not be given any success. والله أعلم. And Allah knows best. Let's do ayah number 19. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يحل لكم أن ترثوا النساء كرها ولا تعضلوهن لتذهبوا ببعض ما آتيتموهن إلا أن يأتين بفاحشة مبينة وعاشروهن بالمعروف فإن كرهتموهن فعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا. آية number 19 says, O you who have believed, you are forbidden to inherit women against their will. This is one of the sound teachings that Islam teaches concerning women. Not that long ago in the Christian world, and before that, women were not even allowed to keep. To if they invented something, their invention will be referred to their husbands or their sons or their fathers. Women had no right to inherit, no right to own property. Women had absolutely no rights. And many people fail to understand that before the democracy and all these invented laws came about and supposedly gave women rights, Islam had given them their rights way back. Way back. This is one of them. And you should not treat them with harshness. Listen to this now. And you should not treat them, the women, with harshness, that you may take away part of the mahr you have given them unless they commit open, illegal, sexual intercourse, and live with them honorably, with honor. If you dislike them, it may be that you dislike a thing and Allah brings through it a great deal of good. The Shaykh said, كانوا في الجاهلية إذا مات أحدهم عن زوجته رأى قريبه كأخيه وابن عمه ونحوهما أنه أحق بزوجته من كل أحد. wife, concerning his widow wife, his relatives, like his father or his cousin, used to feel that they have more of a right to marry her than any other stranger. When the husband dies, his relatives, they used to feel that they have more of a right to marry her than anyone else. And in fact, they used to prevent her from marrying anyone else. They confined her to themselves because they felt that they were relatives of their deceased. So they have more of a right. أحبت أو كرهت, and this is irrelevant, be it whether she likes it or she doesn't. Whether she likes it or she doesn't. فإن أحبها تزوجها على صداق يحبه دونها وإن لم يرضها عضلها فلا يزوجها إلا من يختاره. So if he loves her, if he winds up liking her, he will marry her with a mahr, with a dowry, which is pleasing to him. And if he doesn't, if he's not pleased with her, he will prevent her from being married to anyone except the one whom he chooses. وربما امتنع من تزويجها حتى تبذل له شيئا من ميراث قريبه أو من صداقها. And perhaps he would even prevent her from getting married, period, unless she gave him part of the money of inheritance or some of her dowry. He would force her to give him the dowry. وكان الرجل أيضا يعدل زوجته التي يكون يكرهها ليذهب ببعض ما أتاها. And also some of the men used to do the same thing to their wives. They used to restrain them because they disliked something about them, in order to take away some of the things which they had given her. And he would give her dowry, and he would continue to harass her until she gives him some of the money back. فنهى الله المؤمنين عن جميع هذه الأحوال إلا حالتين. Allah then forbade all of these conditions except two. إذا رضيت واختارت لقاح قريب زوجها الأول كما هو مفهوم قوله كرها. If she likes to marry that relative, she may want him. خلاص, there's no issue because she wants. Because of the statement كرها. وإذا أتينا بفاحشة مبينة, or if they bring about a clear evident sin, كالزنا, like fornication, or would that be adultery? Do we call it fornication or adultery? This is a widow. Adultery. Fornication is when unmarried couple have a sexual relation. Unmarried. Adultery is when married couple or previously married couple commit zina. Because someone may have been married before, then they divorced. If they commit zina, we don't treat them as fornicators. Fornicators is for virgins. Let's put it that way. For virgins. Someone who's never had relations before. So the punishment is lightened because there's more of a tendency to do so. But married couples who've had their share, they need to have more patience. Their punishment is severer. You with me? So fornication is for unmarried couple. Adultery is for currently married or previously married couples. Or if she commits zina, والكلام الفاحش وأذيتها لزوجها, or some foul speech, or she harms her husband, فإنه في هذا الحال يجوز له أن يعضلها عقوبة الأعلى فعله. In this case, he's allowed then to restrain her as a punishment for her, for her actions and disobedience. فلتفتدي منه إذا كان عضلا بالعدل. Then she should pay her way out, which is like the خلع for the woman, in case that it is her who's violating. If she's not, then it's haram for the man to oppress her in this particular fashion. Some of the women, as they say, they have in Arabic they say lsana tawil, and this may not be, there may not be an equivalent for that in the English language. If you want to translate it, say she has a long tongue, and what they mean by that is she's like a sword. She'd be chopping slicing up her husband with her statements, right? So some of these women, they exist, they talk too much and they harm their husbands. And this is no good. Neither is the man supposed to harm his wife verbally, nor is the wife supposed to harm her husband verbally. As Allah commanded us, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُمْ. They are clothing for you and you are clothing for them. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and live with them honorably, as this ayah says. And many ayat which indicate that the relationship should be that of love and compassion and kindness. It is not as many people think that a Muslim male is a dictator at home and he's, you know, hitting his wife day and night. This is all not part of Islam. And whoever reads the Bible about the Prophet ﷺ, this will become evident. The Messenger of Allah never beat anyone. He never hit anyone. Not a wife, not a slave, nothing. Except one in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal. He never hit anyone, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the kindest man a man could be to his wife or his wife. And he is our example to be followed. So, Allah al-Musta'an. Now, ثم قال وعاشرهن بالمعروف, and then live with them honorably. وهذا يشمل المعاشرة القولية والفعلية. This فعلية. This includes verbal treatment. I mean verbally, being kind, honorable, and in actions. فعلى الزوج أن يعاشر زوجته بالمعروف من الصحبة الجميلة وكف الأذى وبذل الإحسان وحسن المعاملة. The husband then is supposed to live honorably with his wife and have an excellent companionship with her, and avoiding harming her, and doing excelling in kindness and good treatment. ويدخل في ذلك النفقة والكسوة ونحوهما. Included in that is spending on her, clothing her, you know, and the likes. فيجب على الزوج لزوجته المعروف من مثله لمثلها في ذلك الزمان والمكان. So a man is expected to treat his wife according to what is the norm during their time and their location. يعني in some countries, a man is expected to spend a particular amount of money on his wife. So the man has to go with the society. The man has to go with the society, because there's nothing in Islam which restricts, you know, to what level do you treat her with kindness. So this has to do with the urf. Yani, if in the urf of people, if it's in the urf, the culture, if we may call it, of people, that a woman massages her husband 10 minutes every day. This is among all women. And the wife doesn't do that for her husband, then we say you have shortcomings. Because in your locality, part of the good treatment between the spouses is that you massage him for 10 minutes. If you live in a society where a woman never massages her husband, and then you come tell her, you haven't been massaging me, then she's fine. And she's not liable. Why? Because it's not part of the culture that this is done. So the culture plays a role in these things as long as they do not contradict the Islamic teachings. Ma'in? Taib. وَهَذَا يَتَفَوَّتْ بِتَفَوَّتِ الْأَحْوَالِ. This is relevant then, this differs, it varies according to the variation and the diversity in the situation. فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ فَعَسَى أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. If you hate something about them, or if you hate them, then perhaps you will hate something and Allah will make a lot of goodness come out of it. أَيَّنْبَغِي لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْأَزْوَاجُ أَنْ تُمْسِكُوا زَوْجَاتِكُمْ مَا الْكَرَاهَ لَهُنَّ. يعني you men, you're supposed to keep your wives even if you hate some things about them. Even if you hate some things about them. فَإِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. In that there's a lot of good. يعني you want a perfect wife? If you want a perfect wife, then ask yourself a question. Are you a perfect husband? No, you're not. If you're not a perfect husband, then why do you want a perfect wife? Like someone, you know, someone told his wife, look at Aisha, look at Khadija, look, why don't you be like them? She said, sure, why don't you be like the Prophet Muhammad, and I will be like them. When you are like the Messenger of Allah, I will be like Aisha. When you're like this, excuse me, yani. You know what I'm saying? So, we have, you know, expectations, but we need to be fair. Huh? If you really want someone perfect, perfect yourself. If you can't perfect yourself, don't expect perfection. And women are unlike men. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. We're not the same. We're not the same. You're not going to have another buddy with you in the house. That's what you need to internalize. Your wife can never be your buddy. She doesn't understand things the same way your friend understands things. She's a woman. She has her own interpretation. Very often false interpretation, but she has her own interpretation. And you need to understand that and live by it. الله المستعان. من ذلك امتثالي امتثال أمر الله وقبول وصيته التي فيها سعادة الدنيا والآخرة. What is the good which you attain if you keep your wife even though you hate something about her? Is that you're fulfilling the command of Allah and you're accepting His advice, which in which you will find the happiness of this dunya and the life to come. ومنها أن إجباره نفسه مع عدم محبة لا فيه مجاهدة النفس والتقلب بالأخلاق الجميلة. Another benefit is that you struggling against yourself to be kind to her and to remain with her even though there are things which you dislike about her entails a lot of effort you exert and trying to beautify your character. You win because you're making all these efforts to be fair, to be just, to treat her kindly even though you're not really feeling it. All of this effort you're exerting, it will not go to waste with Allah. You see what I'm saying? وربما أن الكراهة تزول وتخلقها المحبة كما هو الواقع بذلك. And perhaps that which you dislike will go away and it will be replaced with something which you love. And it will be replaced with something which you love. And the reality testifies to that. This happens very often. Yani someone will hate his wife, you know, for many things, and you know, she never has money. She doesn't have money. Let's say he married her poor, and he's the one who's spending on her all the time, and she's never been able to financially help him. Then one day, Allah decrees that he becomes, you know, handicapped or he gets fired. He doesn't have any money anymore. And his wife, you know, her parents pass away and she inherits, you know, hundreds of thousands of riyals. And then she says, it's on me. You know what I'm saying? No worries, inshallah. I will take care of it. What will happen to the hatred which he had for her before? He will love her so much, man. You can feel the love now. Even though we're hypothetically speaking, you feel the love already. Oh, wonderful thought, right? So Allah may make something good, but before you hated her. And if you want to divorce her because she's so poor, then one day when she becomes rich, after she gets her inheritance money and you don't have her as a wife anymore, you will be in trouble. So perhaps Allah will make something good happen in the future. Now don't wait for that one. Everybody's like, ah, guys, come on, man. What is this thinking of yours? This may happen, okay? Don't be thinking about it all the time. She may never get any money. وَرُبَّمَا رُزِقَ مِنْهَا وَلَدًا صَالِحًا. Or maybe Allah will bless him with a righteous child. And he hates something about her, but she brings beautiful children. Righteous, good children, you know? نَفَعَ وَلِدَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا الْآخِرَةِ. Who will benefit his parents in this life and in the life to come? With this, inshallah, we conclude. Next week, bi'idhnillah, if we all remain alive and healthy, we'll be dealing with ayah number 20 and 21 perhaps, and 22. And then the things are going to get quite technical. But until then, wa aqru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.